Chiefs have wide receiver options now and in the draft. So we're going to do it really simple. Stop or go today on Locked On Chiefs.
From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back, friends and neighbors, Chiefs Kingdom around the world. We are glad you are back with us here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day for free. Thanks for making us your first listen. Check out another Locked On show for your next listen. All kinds of news going on all over the league. Some of it involves some wide receivers that are kind of available, might be available, could come down in the draft, as well as how would they even fit them into this Chiefs roster. We're going to cover all that and more today. I'm Ryan Tracy, the founder of Rogue Analytics and Performance Consulting, home of the Athletic Matrix, the number one athleticism matrix out there that gives you all the information you need about how an athlete can jump to the NFL level, as well as the draft guide. And you can find more work over at NFL33.com and RGR Football.
And I'm Chris Clark from Chiefs Corner. Thank you all for listening. We do appreciate that. Go hit the like, subscribe, and notification bell on YouTube. We would appreciate that as well as any reviews on iTunes or Spotify. And if you're watching on YouTube, please leave comments. We try to read them and we try to respond as much as we can. So we appreciate that as well. There's a lot to talk about when you start talking about the wide receiver room. Andy Reid talked a little bit about it. James Palmer had a little bit of an update on the Chiefs with the wide receivers. So there's a ton to talk about.
There absolutely is. And I know there's a lot of news. Owners meetings are going on, and that's why Andy Reid's in front of a camera, et cetera, et cetera. And some of those updates do affect us, but it comes down to this. We're starting a new segment here specific to the pass catchers because it's either stop or it's go. And we need to discuss the options, what they should be doing, what are they doing right now on a given opportunity, because there are a number of them out there. Should they be going for it right now, or should they stop and just wait? See what happens, let the market come to them. That's what we have to discuss. And the newest one is, I think I saw it first from James Pollard. I don't know if you saw it before that, but was the possibility of Brandon Ayuk being available via trade. That's intriguing. A player that I think fits much, much more into the parameters of what Brett Veach and Andy Reid are looking for than, say, a D-hop, specifically because of age and speed. That's all that it comes down to for me. But the experience level sets a threshold that I think sets him apart, along with D-Hop and OBJ, we'll talk about them in a second, that it does from the draft options there. So is this a revelation to you? Where do you see it, and is it a stop or is it a go?
To me, this is full-on go. And quite frankly, I think that you look at this, and it's a situation where this is the type of wide receiver you want to get. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I think he can be a top five wide receiver in the NFL. I'm not sure that he can. But I think he's a very good young wide receiver, and I think he has the ability to become a number one type wide receiver. And this gives you the ability to have a receiver that is a pro that can step in, learn the offense in the offseason, get on the same page with Patrick Mahomes and understand the offense with Andy Reid. And then if you still want to draft a guy in the draft, you can, and it's not going to be somebody that has to play right away, and you can take some time to develop them a lot like Sky Moore.
I agree with you completely. Now let's set the table a little bit here. So you're on your full go. I am mostly go, only because of this. A couple of extenuating circumstances. You were absolutely right. He is young. He's 25 years old. I love that portion of it. Obviously, we've seen him develop in the league in an offense with, let's say, an interesting cast of characters at quarterback. A much different scenario. He's still been able to be very good at the NFL level without a Patrick Mahomes. As we always say, Patrick's going to raise the level of every pass catcher that comes onto this roster. The sky is the limit for Ayuk were he with somebody like Patrick Mahomes. But here's the rub. He's entering the fourth year, final year of his contract. It is something that is going to be troublesome. There's a fifth-year option out there that they can still weigh. I believe, yes, he was the 25th overall pick. So yep. That fifth-year option is out there. But he's very reasonable in terms of salary right now, 2.3 against the cap with a prorated bonus of 1.6, like a total of just under $4 million in cap space. The question becomes...
But the prorated bonus doesn't matter. It's just the salary. Prorated bonus stays with the 49ers if they trade him.
Right. Right. So we're really only talking about coming over here at 2.3. So that fits the cap criteria in terms of being an eligible number now. You have the fifth-year option, so you have that control. What does that go up to? I want to say it's around 8.7-ish for the wide receivers on the fifth year. I'm not 100% on that, but it's somewhere in that range. So
sounds about right.
You can even
try to find that as we're talking about it. Sorry.
Oh, go ahead. Okay. Gotcha. Thank you for that. So we are talking about seeing it have to rise next year, just out of course, but it's definitely not something where you're talking about even, you know, Juju money or Jacoby Myers money, or certainly not D-Hop and OBJ money is my guess. So it still seems very reasonable, knowing that we know that the cap's going up and there are other clauses and things that are going to happen. I do feel that's very reasonable, and the scenario there does play out very well in terms of the cap itself.
Okay, so you're actually, and I hate to do this, but you're wrong on the cost. The fifth-year option is $14 million for 2024.
Oh, okay. So that changes things for me, just in what I just said a minute ago.
It doesn't change anything for me.
No, not at all.
Not at all. Because in this scenario, $14 million, I still think, I personally think Ayuk is a better wide receiver than Juju, personally. So, and age and health also plays into that as well. So to me, $14 million for a year is not going to be something that's prohibitive. And if you look at the top of the wide receiver market, you're still looking at a situation where it'd be $20 million plus. So, to get a guy like that that can step in and probably start from day one, or at least start, you know, being your second or third wide receiver day one, I think that's a great situation for Kansas City, especially if they're wanting to go youth like it sounds like they are with Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney a bit as well.
Yeah, yeah. At 14-1, that gives me a little bit more pause, but like you said, that's a year away. And that's a dedicated number. There's no negotiation. There's nothing that can change. You exercise the fifth year, it's done. So that's still a modicum of cost control. And so I think that that's still acceptable, and that just plays into the scenario. I think what's really interesting is what this would be in terms of trade compensation. And honestly, I think it's very good to compare and contrast that to what the D-Hop organization, the Cardinals organization, is going to want in that trade to compare the various compensation amounts. So let's put this on pause. I'm still a go. You're still a go. How could it come down to what would that compensation look like? We'll get that right after this. A message from our friends at FanDuel, because the tournament is super hot. I know K-State fans are disappointed, and I understand that. Welcome to our lives. But you can still get in on the action. You can play all kinds of other sports. Everything's available over at FanDuel, the number one sportsbook in America. And right now they're giving all you new customers a no sweat first bet for up to $1,000 in bonus bets applied to your account if your first bet doesn't win. Just go to FanDuel.com/lockedon. You can see it right down here, over here somewhere, and sign up today. Claim your no sweat first bet. It's easy to wager on everything from money lines to point spreads to rebounds in the paint, et cetera, et cetera. It's safe, secure, and super easy to use when you get that app. So go get it now. Don't miss your shot at a no-sweat first bet for up to $1,000 in bonus bets from FanDuel today. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon to sign up. Make every moment more with FanDuel. Betting on compensation is always an interesting one to me, because this is also in the eye of the beholder.
Really quick, I do want to say, sorry, Kansas City only has $74 million in cap space in 2024. $14 million doesn't worry me at all for next year. I just want to throw that out there. Yes, they only have 25 players under contract for 2024. There's a lot to be done, but I want to throw that out there.
Yeah, I mean, if I am correct, you're still going to have Toney on a rookie contract. You will still have, obviously, Sky Moore on a rookie contract. Like, there are things built in. And I always look at not just the total spending on the roster, but the positional spending. What are you putting in terms of investment in cost into that room? And so I think having a player of this ilk, I think definitely you see probably a disassociation with MBS in the future if that happens. And you're still talking about, for the position group, a solid cost. The question is, what does it cost you to get the player?
That's true. Last thing on Kadarius Toney, he is also going to be available for a fifth-year option, but it'll be in 2025 because 2024 is his last year of his rookie contract. So we'll see how that turns out. Just want to throw that out there, because I think it plays a part in all of this, looking at cost control. And that's exactly why, to me, I think this move makes a lot of sense. But you're giving your QB1 another wide receiver that can step in there and that could be a very good wide receiver. And I think can deliver in a lot of different ways for this team.
Yeah, agreed. And then it comes back to, what can you get him for? Now, this is a team, the San Francisco 49ers, who are in the midst of kind of a renaissance here. A lot of hubbub today about their thought that Brock Purdy's going to be competing for their starting position, even though they have the number three overall pick from a draft or two before that, that they've made a significant investment in, gave away three first-round picks for. They have some recuperation they need to do, and I wonder if that pushes the price.
Yeah, and that's going to be interesting because you're sitting here looking at that with Trey Lance, and it's such an interesting scenario because it's the same GM that drafted him is still there, and he's not going to play. It sounds like he's not going to play. They think that Brock Purdy is their guy, and so be it. If he's the guy that they're going to go with, fair enough. But to have the streaming of success that San Francisco has and to miss so badly on that trade is just kind of amazing in my mind.
And that's the thing. It's not like they're a bottom-dwelling franchise. They're within striking distance. They were a playoff team. Like, they have all these things going for them. So I don't think that it's just going to be abandon all hope at any cost. They're looking to recoup picks. And so I feel like that drives the price to a place that I'm not very comfortable with it. Brandon was the number 25 overall when he was selected. Would you put him in the top 25 of overall receivers in the NFL today?
I don't know. Top 25. He's up there. I don't know if he's in top 25.
That's the question for me. So in terms of selection, I don't feel like right now today that warrants a first round pick, even though the Chiefs are the last first round pick at 31. I don't feel that that warrants that. Do you?
Yes. And the main reason I feel that way is because you know what you're getting with Brandon Ayuk. I think that you can have him for cost control for the next 2 years. He can step in and start pretty much right away. I don't think any of the wide receivers in the draft are going to be able to do that. And to me, you have this window that you have with Mahomes, and this is the easiest way to continue to have that window going forward because you're adding a veteran player that you know what you're getting that can step in and play. And to me, that's worth a first-round pick, even though – you're right. Maybe he's not a top 25 wide receiver right now, but he is behind Deebo Samuel in San Francisco. So if you were to come to Kansas City, how does that change things? And quite frankly, you're sitting here looking at a situation where Travis Kelce is going to be the number one no matter what they do at wide receiver, most likely. To me, I still think it's worth it.
Well,
he's 25.
It's certainly the conversation, right? I just double-checked a PFF just for a third-party point of view. They have him ranked at 22 in the league right now. So it is right in that range, right? So it becomes, if you needed me to give up a second and a fourth, I'm there. If you needed me to give up a second and a third round next year, I can probably bring myself to do that because of the impact that this offense needs with the wide receiver position. And like you said, his age and his cost control. I'm just not sure I can part with a first, but you're comfortable with that, yes?
I am comfortable with it, and I think I understand why you're not, because you specifically like those picks. Yeah. you specifically like those picks more than I do. I think that when you have a chance to get a guy – here's the thing. Are you going to get a wide receiver that can be better than Brandon Ayuk in the next 2 years at 31?
No, I don't think so. I might get a tackle that's going to be more worth it. That's my problem. It's not a one-for-one on the wide receiver position for me.
And that's possible, too. You're right. It's possible that they could tackle. But I think that you and I have both talked in our mock drafts have shown probably, as well as a lot of other people's mock drafts, most of the tackles are going to be gone unless they're looking at Anson Harrison, who could also be gone by 31. I think you're going to have a hard time finding a tackle at 31.
Yeah, I'm not planning to. That's okay. But that plays into it. So, okay. Now becomes the second sticky situation. You and I are in the room of Brett Veach, whatever. He pulls us. We disagree on value. He overrides us and says, we're going for it. I can deal with 31 going out the door if it's Brandon Ayuk. But then he says, could you do the same thing for D-Hop? And I still have to say an adamant no. I cannot give up a number one. I might be stretched to give up a number two for DeAndre Hopkins right now.
Because of the contract, you're going to have a hard time getting a two for him. And the other interesting news that broke on Monday was that the Arizona Cardinals have started to let teams talk to DeAndre Hopkins and his agent, or maybe it's just his agent. I apologize. It's probably just his agent to try to get, numbers worked out and see if they can do a restructure and whatnot. Because I don't think that they're figuring they're going to be able to get what they've been asking, which is a second this whole time.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of my thought too. So then it becomes a conversation about value, and is D-Hop at a third better than Ayuk at a first? I'd argue it might be, but is D-Hop at a third or a fourth even better value than Ayuk at a second? And that I would say no. I would take Ayuk with a second over D-Hop, even much cheaper. And that pulls us into the OBJ thing, because that's just a paycheck. That's no compensation. So given the three-headed monster we have here still left prior to the draft, which we'll talk about draft and cap here in the next segment here, folks, where does your gut tell you that you want to lead right now out of these three options?
Between Ayuk, Hopkins, and OBJ?
Yeah.
Ayuk. And it's age more than anything for me. Do I think D-Hop's a better wide receiver? Yes. But his age and his style of play worry me for the next couple of seasons.
Okay, that's fair. If OBJ was healthy, I would go with OBJ because of what
right,
he's been.
Right, but he hasn't been healthy. That's the problem.
Exactly. So I agree with you. I do think the best of the three options is Ayuk. I'm a little surprised, I have to say, that San Francisco would part with him, because it's relatively, like I said, low-key investment. It's still within the draft range. It's hard to hit on those draft receivers in particular, though there are some. We're going to talk about them on the backside of this, because there's that, and got to squeeze it all under the cap. Let's get after it right after this.
The Built Bar March Madness bracket is here. We know that you have a favorite Built Bar or Puff, so go check this out. And now's your time to make it count. Go to BuiltMarchMadness.com to vote for your favorites. I'll be voting for the Choco Brownie Chunk. That's my favorite. There's lots of different ones you can go to vote for, so go pick your favorites and go see what can happen at the BuiltMarchMadness.com website. And then when you vote for your favorite bar or puff, you will be entered into a drawing where 50 Locked On listeners will get a free box of Built. Not only that, but one Locked On listener will get a 12-month subscription to Built to have Built's best bars or puffs delivered monthly straight to their door. You got to try Built. It is the best protein bar ever. I really do believe that, and I love eating them. They are absolutely delicious. They are 100% real chocolate, and they're high in protein with low in sugar. Run to BuiltMarchMadness.com right now to vote for your favorite bar or puff and pick up a box while you're there. You can vote every day in March, so hop in and support your pick.
Hop it in. Okay, so we're going to still stay stop or go. We were both go on Ayuk. We were both lukewarm on Hop, depending on the compensation. It sounds like you were a stop on OBJ.
Pretty much. Okay. I think he could offer a lot, but I just don't trust. I don't trust the injury history.
Okay.
That's what it comes down to, especially with the compensation they're going to have to pay him, which they're going to have to redo money to make it work anyway. So,
I agree. So let me run down some of the values as alternative possibilities in the draft. And I know you don't know all of them as well, so I'll just run through the top tiers, right? For me, the top three are pretty clear. It is, in my order, right now, still by a thread, it is Jordan Addison over JSN over Quentin Johnson. All of those guys require a trade-up. Nobody's fallen to 31. So in terms of compensation, if you're talking about giving 31 for Ayuk or giving 31 and something to get one of those three, I would lean towards Ayuk. What would you say?
I definitely lean towards Ayuk at that point. Like I said, because I think he steps in and can start day one versus one of those rookie wide receivers. Maybe JSN can step in and be a starter day one, but Andy Reid doesn't seem to like rookies starting, especially wide receivers. So I would imagine that that's not going to happen. And quite frankly, I don't even know that you're going to be able to get any of those three wide receivers out of the top 20. So you're going to have to really move up to go get them. And it's going to be cost prohibitive at that point.
Yeah. And then it gets very, very cloudy after that. You have Downs, you have Zay Flowers that gets a lot of attention there. I don't have either of those guys, honestly, on my board worthy of a second round pick. I'm sorry, of the number 31 barely a second round pick. Same for Jalen Hyatt, same for Rashee Rice. In fact, I don't have anyone other than the top three that I think I would give a top round pick for. So that moves us to the second round. And so then it comes down to the Zay Flowers, the Rashee Rice. Jalen Hyatt is a one-trick wonder, but it's pretty wonderful. You have Tillman. You have A.T. Perry we've talked about. You get into the Marvin Mims at that point, somewhere down the line. Again, nobody that screams to me that I'd rather have them even at the second than Ayuk with the first, except for the fact if I was able to get that franchise left tackle with the first round pick. That's the scenario for me.
Well, I agree with that. I think Ayuk, if he's going to be moved, is going to be moved before the draft, so you're never going to have the option of knowing whether or not you could have gotten that tackle. Because, you know, quite frankly, I also think that if you, unless you're thinking that Anson Harrison is that guy that can be that left tackle, and I know lots of people see it differently, I think you're going to have a hard time getting any of those tackles outside the top 25, and Harrison maybe go a little bit higher than that, so it may be top 22. We'll see.
Yeah, I honestly
becomes
and goes in the first round, but that's
fair enough. It becomes the numbers game.
It does. That said, overall, gut feeling today, give up a first round. Maybe you have to do something else for Brandon Ayuk. Then you have the 2 years of cost control and hope you can work that out. Is that what you prefer to do over a draft option in, say, the top 100 right now?
Yes. Stop
or go? Okay, so you're a go.
I'm going to go.
I'm going to be a stop. I'm going to roll my dice with either the second or the third pick, knowing that I have to get some hay made at either tackle or defensive end with my first round pick. And I'm going to roll the dice and see what my staff and my instincts can do. I just feel like that the Ayuk compensation is going to mushroom, and I'm not ready for that.
Mushroom is, oh, you're talking the money it's going to cost?
No, the growth in picks. I'm not ready.
Oh, you think it's going to go up? You think that's going to go up?
Yeah.
If it goes much over a first round pick, I think that that's a different scenario and that's a different question.
Okay.
First round pick, I'm good with. The one thing I will also say is, yes, it's a different position. It's not technically a premium position like left tackle is, but let's not forget Kansas City moved a first round pick and a third round pick to get OBJ Orlando Brown Jr. a couple years ago. And they didn't keep him for more than a couple years. So there is precedent there, kind of, a little bit.
There is. And honestly, if there's one team in this league that will break precedent over providing your quarterback with weapons, it is this team. So if you're going to discount what all the other four major positions are to add one, it is going to be a weapon on the offensive side for the Chiefs. So that said, we'd like to know what you think. Ayuk trade at a first round level. Are you in or out? Stop or go? What should the Chiefs do? Go ahead and vote. Put it in the chat here on YouTube as well as the reviews on Spotify and Apple. We'd like to know your thoughts. Anything really else quick, that you want to clean up?
Yeah, really quick. The Chiefs did sign a couple of guys over the weekend. They brought back Blake Bell, Phil Hoskins. Obviously, we already know about Derek Nnadi and Byron Cowart as well. Currently, they stand at about $5 million in cap space, a little over $5 million in cap space. But the one thing I do want to point out is, when you start getting numbers for these guys that come in, and let's say Blake Bell's 1.5, it's only going to drop their cap down by $750,000 or less, actually. Could be less, because it just kicks the lowest person on the on the top 51 off the list. Mm-hmm. So you're not going to have huge cap hits for any of these guys. I don't expect that any of these guys are really going to make a huge dent in the Chiefs cap available currently.
Fair enough. Let's hope not. We're going to have more thoughts. See what Matt's hearing from the inside of the organization, as well as where do they move on next? Are there still late wave free agents coming to this roster, as we've seen? We're going to find that out tomorrow. Don't miss it. Remember, we are here 5 days a week, always giving you a show that's half hour or less. We're aiming for 20 minutes, but hey, you never know. We talk a lot. Glad you guys have been here. We appreciate your time and support, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.